This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Masters Week, everyone gets into the mood, and now we all have the post-Tiger hangover a little bit.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, my good buddy Jay is back, and Jay was in Washington, D.C., and you were at the White House?
Yeah, I went to the White House for like a day.
Was it in your professional capacity with the Topic Pulse, or?
For about 2 hours, it was in the professional capacity, and then I just got to kind of hang out a little bit.
And you got to see the Egyptian president, I guess?
Yeah. I got to see everybody get cleared out and, you know, stop taking pictures. That was wild.
Did you get to see the president?
No, I did not.
Oh.
Mm-mm. I saw the snipers and stuff, though. That was pretty cool.
There to protect him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Okay. That was awesome.
Well, we had a little thing while you were gone.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I heard about it.
Did you see any of the pictures?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I heard about it. I seen a lot of people wearing stuff from last year out there, too.
So I have a special guest that comes to see me on Sunday of Masters Week. It's not the one that, you know, it's the second special guest.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought his daughter and his niece with him over the weekend.
Okay.
And they were positioned in a spot at 18 green when Tiger won.
Oh, man.
He and his family have ended up in all kind of pictures in all kind of places.
What?
And that's exactly what happened the year Jordan Spieth won. When Jordan Spieth won, the main picture that the Associated Press put out of him celebrating on the green had my buddy, Bert, in the background with his father.
Oh,
now Bert and his daughter are immortalized in much the same way. And I sent him a note. I said, you know, if your granddaddy had been in Dallas back in 63, he'd have been in the Zapruder film. Ain't no doubt. But anyway, it was a great weekend and got a lot to say about it and a lot to say about the implications and a lot of life lessons from what we saw over the weekend. But I do want to take a quick mention and God bless, no pun intended, the folks over in Paris that are doing their best to save what is left of what was inside Notre Dame. I don't know that there's a reasonable explanation. I can't imagine something as iconic as that would not have state-of-the-art fire prevention equipment installed all around it.
Right.
Especially something that's made of pure ancient wood that's going to go up at a moment's notice. And I would have, and I guess they have to be careful about, you know, what it looks like, and you can't put a lot of piping in on ancient wood. But it seems like you could put plastic air pipes around that could shoot out that fire retardant gas and chemical, kind of like what comes out of a fire extinguisher.
Right.
And it seems like something like that. And I've seen other places, where that material has been dispatched, and it can save structure integrity in a heartbeat. That doesn't mean that all fires are going to be able to be put out immediately, but it would save a lot of the damage. And apparently there were construction projects going on at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, and that perhaps, I'm just going out on a limb here, maybe they had to disable the fire prevention technology that was present, if any was. I am shocked at what Limbaugh was reporting a little while ago. Apparently, there were concerns about the smoke that was being put off when they attempted to dump water on the fire, saying that it was congesting the general neighborhood. Now, if it's poison gas, if it's like something burning that's toxic and creating, you know, dangerous fumes, that's one thing. And it's possible that could be it. But who the hell cares if your neighborhood is smoky for a couple of hours when you're trying to save Notre Dame? And by the way, to the wonderful young lady on my Twitter feed who actually put, oh, my God, that church they named after the college is going up. Just stop. Mm. Just stop. It's not named after a college. The
no.
College is named after it. And Quasimodo's okay, I promise. It's a mess. And all joking aside, it is a real mess over there, and you hate to see any iconic structure like that has been embraced and immortalized by art, literature, and in the hearts and minds of men and women for decades go up like that. Very, very sad situation. Okay, on a lighter, happier note, the city of Augusta again celebrates another fantastic Masters Week. Darren Revelle is a man who publishes a lot of financial news, and I saw this yesterday. And John Patrick reported it this morning again, and I'm still trying to figure out how he figured this out. Did you hear the figure that was floated as to how much money the Augusta National does at their pro shops?
No, I did not.
This is not concessions. This is not ticket sales. This is not the resale of tickets.
Just the pro shops. No, I hadn't heard.
Well, and this is before I even bought your hat.
Okay.
So I mean, that just goes to show you. $850,000 an hour.
What?
$850,000 an hour, which translates to, for the week, $50 million.
Wow.
1 week.
Oh, my goodness.
In that one spot, $50 million in merchandise sales.
Mm.
That's amazing. Now, folks, you know, you can say what you want to about the people that visit our city and that congest the roadways and everything. If you think they go to the Augusta National Pro Shop and spend all their money, you're wrong. Because I was sitting at T-Bone's the night that Auburn got beat by Virginia. And then the next night, I guess, or two nights later, Virginia won.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there that night. That was the night of the ladies amateur. And watched how full that place was.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, again, that was the very first day of an extended Masters week. No restaurant I went to all week long wasn't filled. And a lot of them were backed up pretty good. I don't have any way of guessing what the percentage of the annual business is that's done for the year. But everyone that I've talked to in the restaurant business says they can count on between 3 to 5 times their regular receipts. Yeah. And so, you know, do the math. And for those with bar business, it can get a lot more than that. So anyone that says that the Masters or the Augusta National doesn't give back, and you people are daft. There's no other way to put it. You're just not educated. You're ignorant, and you're speaking out of your fanny, and nobody cares to hear your opinions. Shut up, okay? It is nice to know there are people out there that need to be educated, but these folks that say they take, and what are they, 1 week a year? Yeah, it's a big week. It's a big week. How many days of the year is Christmas? One.
Right.
but you get it, right?
That's right.
Try saying we're going to cancel Christmas this year because it's just one day. No. A lot of folks here in the area have made a cottage industry out of benefiting from that week. I didn't make a dime. Matter of fact, I lost money, technically speaking. I got taken to dinner a lot, so that's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
That means I didn't have to eat, you know, $5 worth of food at home.
Yeah.
Or my wife's yelling at the radio as I say that. other than a couple of friends of mine taking me out for dinners and going to parties and eating like that, I probably spent several $100 in the gift shop.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I had to buy a few drinks out on the course for different people, and that didn't amount to much. But my main connection comes through the experiences that I have.
Right.
And so last night, as my wife and I and my son and our house guest, Ann, are driving back from Dairy Queen, singing with the radio as loud as we possibly can, making complete fools out of ourselves. I mean, that's a great experience. And you know, that's yet another wonderful little singular event that never would have happened without the Masters. Thursday night at a party with, and for those of you that are wondering, and I mentioned this last week, I guess Friday. Thursday, I was the host of Russell Hitchcock, who's the lead singer of Air Supply. And that was fun. That was educational. In a lot of different ways. I met Russell and his partner in Air Supply, Graham Russell. A funny combination of names, Russell Hitchcock and Graham Russell. For those of you keeping score at home, Russell Hitchcock is the short guy that hits the high notes, the lead singer. Graham is the fellow that plays guitar and writes most of their music. Russell is a great fan of golf and a tremendous fan of the Masters, and he had never been before. When we met in Jamaica 2 years ago, he noticed I was wearing an Augusta National hat. We were having lunch at the resort in a little group lunch that my wife and I had been invited to. And struck up a conversation. Anyway, he just made the comment, man, that must be awesome to get to see that course. How many times have you been? And I said, well, every year since 1969. I've either been to a practice round or, you know, an actual round because my family had tickets and he couldn't believe it. And he said, well, do you still go? And I said, well, I go now, but I don't get to do much sightseeing because I work out there. But, we still go. And he said, well, that's amazing if you ever hear of a ticket. And I said, well, every now and then I get access to a ticket. Would you like to visit. If and, oh, absolutely. Well, last year I had access to a ticket, but Air Supply was in Europe touring. This year I noticed that they had an available couple of days near the tournament and reached out and texted him. And, you know, when you have a rock star's phone number, you never know whether it worked ever, much like, because I never reached out. I said, hey, Russell, it's your old buddy Austin from Augusta, Georgia. And I sent the picture of the four of us eating lunch together in case he had forgotten. And I said, guess what has come available? And he sent me back a note immediately. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You got to be at what date? What date? And I said, well, Thursday. And he just says, got to be in Wilmington Friday night, but I'm free Thursday. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? And I said, sure, yeah, we'll make it happen. And so he immediately sends me a note. He says, okay, great, I'm going to have my wife book us a hotel.
Yeah, right.
I said, good luck. And I LOL'd him, LOL, LOL, LOL. And he says, no, I don't mind paying, market rates. He says, I understand how these things go. He lives in Atlanta full time, and, you know, they've dealt with Super Bowl crowds and everything. And I said, again, LOL, LOL. I said, if you could get a room, God knows the quality you could get. Well, he ends up staying with us. I say with us, with my dear friend John, so he could have his own bathroom. That was our request, not his. We wanted to, you know, fix him up. And besides that, my wife, well, never mind. We won't talk about that.
Don't say anything.
My wife loves them. Don't get me wrong. So she was already stressed out with one house guest, and when her head exploded, it exploded all over me. So we won't. Anyway, so he came in, had a great time at the Masters. Thursday night, we go to the same party that we go to every Thursday of Masters Week that the Irish Golf Tourism Board, actually the Irish Tourism Board, puts on this year in anticipation of the British Open over there in Ireland. But it was a great night. He was as incredibly cool as you can imagine he would be. I spent from about 10 o'clock to, about 10 o'clock to about 2:15 on the course with him, and then busted tail to get back here. Mm-hmm. And he stayed there for the rest of the day. It's funny, I had him go to Windsor because he was looking to meet John to ride back to the house. And, he was concerned. He'd never been here before. He says, how do you get from point A to point B? And I said, well, you know, we'll take care of you. So I'll get an Uber. And I said, don't worry about that. We'll take care of you. So we went straight to Windsor. Of course, where are you going to send any rock star? You go to Windsor Jewelers. So he hung out there for a little while, had a good time, loved Windsor. And we ended up having a great evening and a really good time. And I even got pictures from the Augusta Airport when he left. He connected with a couple of people out there, friends of mine. And when he mentioned that he had been staying with me, they all texted me pictures back. Super nice guy. Could not be happier with the way the visit went, and he's been beaming about it, and he gave us shouts out on the stage in Wilmington, North Carolina, Friday night, and last night in Atlanta they had a concert, and I said, he says, hey, mate, grab your family, come on, front row, the whole bit, come on, I'll invite you up on stage, you can sing with, can't do it, Russell, I'm here. I think he invited me knowing I couldn't go that.
That might have been.
He did throw the caveat out there that we've got front row tickets to any Air Supply concert for the rest of our lives, if we want to go. So basically, we can just follow you on the road. Absolutely.
Oh,
he said, don't people do that with the Grateful Dead? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, well, you don't want to do that, but just about any other time, you come on up. Now, I mentioned this in some of our programming last week, but this is a good indication as to things going on at the National that you may not know of. There are roadways, and they can accommodate full-size vehicles, but for the most part, during the tournament week, they only accommodate golf carts. You have golf cart roadways, pathways that go all the way around the club, the way that the perimeter goes around the city of Atlanta, or the Bobby Jones Expressway goes around Augusta. And you can go from one end of the club to the other in a circle without ever crossing in between, and you can access it from all points, almost like the spoke of a wheel. Now, a lot of times you don't necessarily see those roadways, or they're roadways that have been there all along, but they hook up in places that you didn't know about. I'll give you a great example, tell you a little secret. Friday at 10 minutes after 2, I was standing right between 11 Green and 12 T at Amen Corner. Now, think about that for a moment. It is possible to be further away from the entrance. It's not. It's not possibly further away from the entrance of the club. Maybe an equal distance will be over near number 5, over near Berkman's Place. But from where I had to be, which is the press building, which is at the far corner of the club, which is where my car was parked, it's almost the furthest possible point that you can be from where I needed to be. And it was 10 minutes after 2, and I had to be in the studio at 3 o'clock. Now, walking that, if I had to walk it, it would have taken me 30 minutes at least to get back. I knew where to go to pick up a ride. And you just have to walk to a certain spot, and they have utility carts coming by all the time. And if you're working press and say, hey, I need to get to the press building, they're happy to give you a ride. So these little roadways, a lot of people don't know about. They have no clue. And so when they hear that there's going to be a tunnel under Washington Road, they freak out, and they think all these terrible things are going to be built to accommodate it, and it's going to be ugly and everything. You folks have no idea. You don't know what's out there now that the general public doesn't know about. You don't know about the tunnels that exist at Augusta National, where you're constantly driving under pedestrian walkways. Those of you who park in the free parking have seen some of those pedestrian walkways turned into bridges that have tunnels underneath them, small ones. But on Augusta National property proper, there are at least two of those that I know of, and there may be more that I don't know about. And again, it's something that was constructed without the public ever hearing it or seeing it. And it's constructed in such a way where even if you did see it, you say, oh, man, that's beautiful. The same company that handled a lot of that, from what I was told, is the same company that handles similar projects for Disney World. So they know what to do. They know how to build it. They know how to make it look like it's part of the landscape. And that's another great thing about the improvements at Augusta National. Once they've taken place, and I'm not talking about the golf course improvements, everyone sees those. I'm talking about the pedestrian improvements, the technical improvements behind the scenes. Once they're finished, and they always are on time, they look like they've been there for 20 years and they're 100% natural and have been there forever. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane the way that they're able to do it as seamlessly as they do. I've never seen a sign up at Augusta National that says pardon our progress or this site under construction or development or anything like that. By the time tournament week gets here, whatever they're doing, it's done, and it's the best it's ever been. Alrighty, Temptation, right? Is that the version of it?
I believe so. It's labeled Rare Earth, but that's the
Temptations. No. Well, it could be Rare Earth's version.
Oh, okay.
They both did the same song.
Yeah, because it's called Get Ready.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
That's Rare Earth.
That's Rare Earth, yeah.
It's all right. Out of sight.
Woo-hoo. All right. 706.
You're performing at the James Brown birthday.
863. I should be. 706-863-5800 is the number. Kevin in Modoc. How you doing, Kevin? What's up?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good.
Hey, being around here, we all know how special it is to have the tournament here. I mean, it's an unbelievable event. And 6 years ago, they introduced the drive chip and putt, and that was incredible because all of a sudden, more people were involved in the event, and we got to see the course. If you weren't there personally, you got to see it on TV a day before. And then this year, I mean, the women were totally phenomenal. The TV coverage was incredible. I mean, it was just outstanding. The only thing I wanted, and then I'll hang up, is at the end, when the teammates approached and the water splashing, do you think that was appropriate for the Augusta National?
The teammates, I may have missed this.
At the end, when she walks up and she's right by the tower, you know, leaving the green, just kind of out of the blue, the teammates came up and opened their water bottles, and they were splashing and all that stuff. And to me, it's like, you know, be a little more respectful for the ground.
I didn't see that. That's their version because most of them are minors.
Because it's collegiate.
Yeah, that's probably their version of shaking champagne on someone. I understand that activity normally is frowned upon on the tournament grounds or on the course grounds, but at the same time, I mean, I understand the exuberance. It'll be interesting to see if it happens again, but I understand.
Oh, I would consider this to be an event. Yeah. I think this will repeat it.
Well, no. I don't mean the water will repeat?
No. I don't think the water will.
Okay. Yeah. The women's amateur is definitely going to repeat. That enthusiastic celebration just goes to show you that the National didn't control everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible. And thank you for your coverage throughout the week. That was, I mean, it was phenomenal, Masters. Everything was awesome.
Thank you. I cannot take credit for any of that. That's 99% Ashley Brown. He's got one of the most incredible minds for golf and trivia and retaining information.
It is nice to hear his voice back on
Absolutely.
The radio again.
Yep, me too. I agree with you. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. He's not only witnessed a lot of what we discuss here firsthand in person and, you know, watching television, but he's got this mind like a sponge when it comes to sports information and great stories, and he's one of a kind. That's why we love him. Good old Ashley. All right. 706-863-5800. John from Thompson. How you doing, John? What's up?
I'm doing fine. Wish I'd have been there at the golf tournament this weekend, but maybe next year.
Okay.
Listen, does the Augusta National ever reveal fan participation, tickets they hand out, tickets they sell, or is that just something, a number they keep to themselves?
They keep that number to themselves. The general estimate is 60,000 on the course during tournament days.
Man, that's got to be low. It's probably twice that much.
You think so?
Yeah, 27 holes, yeah. I would think so.
27 holes. You're talking about, you're including the par three. Keep in mind, by the time the par three starts, the golf course is virtually empty, the rest of the course. There's some people out walking it and that type of thing, but most everyone's then at that point crowded onto the par three, those that are going. 60,000 seems to me to be a pretty reasonable number. And again, there are people that make these kinds of judgments based on usually aerial photos of the crowds and those types of things. So, yeah, but they never announce it, they never discuss it, and they probably never will.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Dollars and cents. I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Austin, interesting observation that I have not heard brought up. Is it a rule that at the National that patrons cannot wear hats backwards? No. Patrons can wear, you know, within anything within reason as far as, you know, decent clothing goes. They don't allow profanity to be on T-shirts, but they allow T-shirts. They don't have any rules regarding headgear that I've ever seen. Again, as long as there's not, you know, profanity involved with it. But plenty of people walk around with their hats backwards. Plenty of people walk around with no hats. Plenty of people walk around with their hats correctly placed. I did notice something this week, though, that I don't know why I've never noticed it quite the way that I noticed it this year. But the players have incredibly white foreheads compared to their tan faces.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Even Tiger is a little bit two-tone.
Yeah.
And boy, Tiger's going bald. Bless his heart.
Him and LeBron.
Yeah. And that just goes to show you, money don't buy hair.
I sure do.
And it buys fake hair, but it don't buy real hair.
That's true.
Yeah. And God bless, I'm facing the same thing myself, so I'm not going to make fun. But it's just kind of startling when you look at the old pictures of Tiger, and then, you know, you see him with his hat off, like, gee whiz, Grandpa,
right.
Where'd he come from?
Oh, man, it's bad.
By the way, what kind of physique does this guy have? 43 years old, he looks like he could be 23.
Right.
And, you know, obviously he's had every excuse in the world to stop exercising and working out.
Mm-hmm.
Every excuse in the world. These ain't the days of Craig Stadler anymore. Did you ever see? You know who Craig Stadler was?
Oh, yeah.
Who's literal, his adopted nickname that he embraced. Uh-huh. I mean, he sold little shirts that had it on it, was the Walrus.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
He had it, mustache and all.
Oh, yeah. He loved it. He embraced it. You know, those days are over with. You're mm-hmm. not going to see punchy little guys, you know, coming up on the PGA Tour anymore, I don't think. John and Evans, how you doing, John? What's up?
Hey, Austin.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that guy that called about a half an hour ago that was critical of the Augusta Nationals' handling of the time change and the weather impacts, you know, he seemed like he was advocating that maybe somehow the Augusta National got a hold of the George Bush hurricane machine and planned all this.
Directed it toward New Orleans to wipe out some Democrat voters.
Well, yeah, and then he turned on the Augusta National, so Tiger would have an advantage somehow.
And then they turned on the dome of protection so that all kind of bad weather happened around, but none actually occurred at Augusta National. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that.
All right, good point. Thank you very kindly. There was one thing that was impacted tremendously yesterday in a negative way. Think about this for a minute, Jay. You got your mic on in there or your ears on?
Oh, yeah.
So, greatest golf tournament in the world, one of the most epic leaderboards going into Sunday's round, incredible drama. They had to change. What happened yesterday that no one could foresee? What was the one thing that was very seriously negatively impacted yesterday?
Negatively impacted.
Church attendance.
Yes.
Church attendance.
Nobody was
now,
at church.
I wasn't there because I had to work, but I wasn't going to be there anyway.
Right.
Because of whether they had a weather delay or not.
Right.
My day starts early on Sunday. But my wife was there, and she said the minister thanked everybody, and then said, we're going to find out who the real believers are, because we're going to see how many times you check your phone while you're sitting there, too. And Bobby said she checked it one time before he said that, and then she felt guilty and didn't check it anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of bad.
Yeah. If the minister had any sense of humor at all about it, and I'm sure he did, he's a good guy, he should have put at the very end of the sermon, he should have put the scoreboard up, the leaderboard up.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
On the big screen.
That would have got some hallelujahs.
But that's that. Yeah, church services were impacted tremendously yesterday. Especially in good old Augusta, GA.
Oh, yeah.
All right, 706-863-5800. Our number is *580 on the Verizon Wireless mobile phone system. Let's see if we can hit Benny real quick. Man, where's the day gone? It's almost.
I know, right?
Holy crap. Benny, you're on the air. What's up, bud?
Hey, Austin. I just was thinking, I was wondering how the Democratic liberal media is going to spin the narrative when Trump awards Tiger his award, his medal that he's going to give him at the White House. You know, supposedly, according to them, all Trump supporters are country white hicks and never blacks.
Well, they're about to find out, aren't they?
Yes, sir. I wonder how they're going to deceive the American people when this happens.
You know, this might be one of the few things that Trump's ever done that Democrats aren't going to be able to complain about. Because, I mean, what are they going to say? Sure enough. I mean, here's a guy that has come back from adversity, and it's the president that's all about second chances. I mean, he's changing, you know, prison reform and criminal justice reform out the wazoo. It's been one of the things that he's done that almost everyone has kind of embraced. So this is going to be a very, very positive move, I think, for the president, on top of doing the right thing, just honoring Tiger Woods, you know?
Yeah, well, don't be surprised. Yeah, come up with some. I look forward to
seeing what they come up with. I think they're gonna make a fool out of themselves if they go too hard. Okay.
All right,
Benny. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station WGAC at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.